So we're not yet getting Luther's Reformation theology. We're not yet getting the gospel. We're not yet getting an attack on the Pope. We're not yet getting an attempt to criticize the church. We got this distinct local problem about indulgences, which Luther wants to correct. So let's talk about this local problem with indulgences. What's going wrong with the selling of indulgences in Germany in 1517 when Luther tacks up these 95 theses? This is going to be a late medieval story. This is going to bring us back to the themes of our second lecture about how spiritual power, economic power, and political power are tied up together in the Middle Ages in a way that we're just not used to nowadays, and we have to remind ourselves how this goes. So let's tell the story here a little bit. We have to go back to a man named Albert of Brandenburg. Sometimes the name is given in German, Albrecht, right? But Albert of Brandenburg. He is a member of the Hohenzollern family, right? Almost as important a family as the Habsburgs. These are important people. They are on the make. They are trying to consolidate their control of Germany as much as possible. So they want Albert, who's a young man, to get as much control, much power as possible by becoming a bishop in as many places as possible. Right. Nowadays, of course, you're not allowed to be a bishop except in one place. That's good church practice, and the Catholic Church insists on that. But in the 16th century, things were different. Pope Julius II was bishop of about half a dozen places before he became pope. Albert is already, in fact, bishop of Halberstadt and the Archbishop of Magdeburg, as well as the secular Margrave of Brandenburg. Right, he's the secular prince of Brandenburg. He's the bishop of Halberstadt. He's the Archbishop of Magdeburg. Being bishop of more than one place means that you are a pluralist in the medieval sense of the term, right? You hold more than one benefice. Remember, a benefice, like a bishopric, is a source of wealth and power as well as a spiritual office. When you become a bishop, you get power, you get wealth. That's what Albert is after. That's what his family is after. They want him to be Archbishop of Mainz in addition to Bishop of Halberstadt and Archbishop of Magdeburg. How does he get to be Archbishop of Mainz? How does he get to be an Archbishop of two places? Well, it is irregular. Even in the 16th century, that's an irregular proceeding. So the Pope has a chance to say, this is not quite according to canon law, so you have to pay extra. You know, remember the business about annates, A-N-N-A-T-E-S. Annates are the tax that a bishop pays to the Pope in the first year of holding a benefice as a way of sort of, well, paying for the benefice. He has to fund the papacy somehow. The bishop owes the Pope. So the part of the money of the benefice goes to the Pope. It's a kind of tax. But when you're charging as much as the Pope charged Albert of Brandenburg, it really does verge on the sin known as simony, S-I-M-O-N-Y. Simony goes back to Simon Magus in the Bible, who tried to buy spiritual power from the apostles. Albert is trying to buy a benefice from the Pope. He's actually not very interested in the spiritual power of it. He wants the temporal power. He wants the wealth, the land, and the power. He will become the ruler of Mainz, the city of Mainz in Germany, by becoming the Archbishop of Mainz. The Archbishop of Mainz is the temporal prince over Mainz. That happens a lot with archbishops in Germany, right? By becoming Archbishop of this city, he becomes a prince of the city. He's the one who rules Mainz. So it's a plum. It's worth buying. It's expensive. Leo X is the Medici Pope. He is charging 10,000 ducats for this benefice, 10,000 ducats in annates. That's a lot of money. Albert doesn't have that much money. But you see, this is a little bit like a takeover situation in our economy, right? If you're a corporation that wants to gobble up another corporation, you go into debt so you can buy that corporation. So Albert, he wants to gobble up a new benefice. How's he going to do it? He goes into debt. He borrows money so he can buy the benefice. He borrows money from the Fuggers, the F-U-G-G-E-R-S, the most important banking family of the 16th century. Borrows a lot of money, of course. Buys the benefice. Now he's got to pay him back. How's he going to pay him back? Well, he's going to sell indulgences. For that, he needs a license from the Pope, but the Pope is willing to help him with that. The Pope says, look, you want to fund this? I like this 10,000 ducats you're giving me. I'm willing to help you fund this. You can sell indulgences. So the Pope issues indulgences. It's only the Pope who can do this. And now Albert can commission a man named Tetzel, who's a Dominican friar, to go around Germany selling indulgences. The proceeds from the indulgences go half of them to the Pope, who will use them to continue work on St. Peter's. You know St. Peter's in Rome, that huge, magnificent church. It's built from, in part, from money from Germany, from these indulgences. It helped start the Reformation, that church did. The other half of the money goes to Albert to pay back his bank loan.